Our scripture reading tonight is from Luke 6, verses 43 through 45. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and evil men bring evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks, but the heart is full of. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, indeed, Lord God, we do ask that you would speak through your word tonight, that your voice would pierce through all the words circling around us, and we would hear your voice clearly. And we would see your glory, Lord, and that we would be transformed by your love and your grace. Lord, we long to belong to you. Help us to do that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue in Lent, I had said last week that, you know, Lent, this season of reflection and this season of repentance, that I wanted to spend these Thursday nights that we have together in Lent looking at our heart. And, you know, we have made repentance kind of a scary word. And it sometimes comes across like an angry word and a finger-pointing word. And that's not at all what repentance is about. The word to repent means to turn back, like a person in the army does an about-face. To repent means to come home to the one who loves us best. And so we only repent in the midst of God's goodness and his grace and his love for us. It's when we know that we are loved, even in the mess that we are, that nothing is going to stop God's love for us, that we can strip away all that stuff that gets in our way, that we can unburden ourselves, that we can repent and let God do his wonderful transforming work in us. We talked last week about when people, the Pharisees, Jesus used Isaiah's words, the words that God said through Isaiah when he said to them, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And we ask God to check our heart and to help us not have empty words, not just to worry about saying the right thing, but that our hearts would be right. And once again tonight, we come to a passage that kind of connects our words and our heart. And these couple of verses that Tom read for you come from Luke 6, which is often called the Sermon on the Plain, as opposed to in Matthew, where Jesus was up on a mount speaking. In Luke, we hear of a time where he was on a level place, the plain, and he gave this sermon. And we're just taking just a couple little verses from that sermon today. But he talks about trees and the kind of fruit they bear. But then he talks about good coming out of the lips of the man who's good and evil coming out of the lips who are evil. And then he says, it's out of the fullness of our heart that our mouth speaks. Some translations say it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. And I'm so glad that I can read this passage in the light of God's goodness and his everlasting love for me, because if I'm honest, these verses make me very, very uncomfortable and very nervous. I don't know about you and what comes out of your mouth. You know, last week we talked about kind of prettying up our words, right? So our words were beautiful regardless of our heart. But sometimes I'm shocked by the words that come out of my mouth, and I don't mean just four-letter words. Do you ever have the experiences of saying something in response to something that happens and being absolutely shocked by what came out of your mouth? Because sometimes, if you're like me at all, it's mean, or it's judging, or it's cruel, and sometimes it's even hateful. And when I think about those times and I get that glimpse into my heart, it almost takes my breath away, because, you know, I want to think that because I love Jesus, my heart is pretty clean. And even though he's washed me with his grace and I'm clean, he's still processing me, transforming me. And every once in a while, he gives me this glimpse of what it is that's in my heart. Sometimes it doesn't even have to come out in words. God reminded me so powerfully today by my reaction to something, how unbelievably self-consumed I am. How I have this tendency to make everything about me. And the reality of it is most of the time, it is not about me. And again, when God gives us that glimpse of our heart, it kind of brings us to our knees. And our temptation is to try to fix that. And so we try to fix our words and we try to fix our reactions. It's really, if you will, what's wrong with political correctness. Because I'm all in favor of calling people by names that are not offensive to them. I'm all for ripping apart stereotypes and generalizations and treating people as people, whatever they look like. The problem with political correctness is we clean up our words, forgetting that our words are just the overflow of our heart. That it's not our words so much that need to be fixed, because that's just a symptom of the problem. What we need is a heart transplant. What we need is heart surgery. We need our hearts changed. So we clean up our words, and that's beautiful, but we only have to look around us to see the underlying tension that still exists, even when our words are right. There's racial tension, there's political tension, there's religious tension, there's tension between the genders. Because we clean up our words, but we ignore our heart. And so as we come to this time in Lent, we're aware that even though our words are very important, they are just the symptom of what's wrong. And so we need to change our heart. How do we do that? How do we change our heart? You know, our temptation is to sort of try to fix a couple of things, or maybe try really hard to say only really nice things, or try to take a minute before we react and make sure we've kind of lined up our reactions. But that's sort of what Jesus talked about with the Pharisees when he said, you take all this time cleaning the outside of the cup, and inside the cup, it's a filthy mess. Clean the inside of the cup, and then the outside will be clean as well. And so we're left with this dilemma. How do we change these hearts? It's not a matter of trying harder. It's not a matter of making a list of words that we're not going to say or attitudes that we're not going to express. Because God is in the heart-changing business, and that's what he longs to do to us. And that only happens as we invite God in. It only happens as we surrender our hearts. And when I'm feeling frustrated about change, when I'm not sure that God keeps his promises, that he's transforming us from glory to glory to glory, I love to look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a righteous Jew. He was a Pharisee. He had the right ancestry. He did the right things. And when the Christian church started after the resurrection and the pouring out of God's Spirit on Pentecost, he righteously pursued this infant church, believing that these people were blasphemous, who were talking about salvation coming through Jesus Christ, that Jesus was the Messiah. And he set about setting that straight, zealously pursuing this young church. We see him standing as people throw their cloaks at his feet as Stephen, the first Christian martyr, is stoned, giving his approval. We find him heading to Damascus with letters that allow him to arrest any Jews who have fallen for this Jesus nonsense. And it's on that road that he comes face to face, if you will, with the very Jesus that he persecutes. When he sees this bright light that blinds him, and he hears this voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he lost his vision, but more importantly than that, he had his heart transplanted. And this pursuer of the Christian church becomes the man who is responsible for so much of its growth. The man who dedicated the rest of his life to carrying the message of the good news of Jesus Christ to other people. But here's something that's even more amazing. The Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, were anathema to the Jews. They were filthy. They were blasphemous. They were heretics. The Jews wanted nothing to do with the Gentiles. And Paul, as a good Jew, as a Pharisee, would have held that feeling fiercely. And as God transplanted his heart, he becomes not only an apostle to the churches, not only the chief missionary of this new church, but he becomes the missionary to the Gentiles, reaching out to the people he once despised, giving his life for them, going to prison, suffering things we cannot even imagine to make sure that these people who were once outcasts in his mind were invited in to the richness, to the fullness of God. So when we can't believe that God transforms us, we need to ask him to open our eyes and look at somebody like Paul, so transformed. Not because he tried hard, not because he said, I'm really going to try to be tolerant of Gentiles, but because God overwhelmed him with his love, and Paul surrendered his heart, and God was free to do what God does best, and he made Paul a new person. When we think about wanting our hearts changed, and we say, well, we have to pray. I sometimes get so frustrated with the way we look at prayer. We say we believe in prayer. We give a lot of lip service to prayer, and sometimes we even pray. But we treat prayer like it's this passive thing. Like we just kind of pray and sit there and let it go and see what God might do. Praying is anything but passive. It's active. It's expectant. It's anticipating, and it costs us. Because we can't simply just say, oh, God, fix my heart. We have to really offer up our heart to him. We need to let him into the places where we're not sure we're comfortable with him being. We have to realize that his desire is to get our hearts in tune with his. Paul probably wasn't praying, oh, Lord, please let me love Gentiles. It happened because God overwhelmed him and because he said, God, whatever you want, I want. And so often we say, God, whatever you want, as long as it's not inconvenient to me, or as long as I can still do this one thing. When we pray, Lord, change my heart. Lord, fill my heart up with you. So that when I speak, that when I react, that when I move, what comes out of the overflow of my heart is you. When we pray that and we mean it, we may have to let go of some stuff that we're not sure we want to let go of. We might have to be willing to let go of some prejudices that we have, or some hatred that we have, or some anger that we have, or some bitterness that we have. Because when we store those things in our heart, try as we might, they come out and they're ugly. And when we hold those things in our heart, they fester and they start to smell and they're ugly and we wind up hurting ourselves. You know, God doesn't tell us to love other people and to forgive people and to not let bitterness grow and to learn how to handle our anger. He doesn't just say that to say it. He says it's because that's who he is, and he longs for us to be like him. And he says that to us because he knows that those things that we are so tempted to hang on to are so bad for us. And he's our good father who wants to give good gifts to his children. He does not want us to settle for second best. He wants us to have the fullness of who he is. And so this Lent, God invites us to ask him to do some heart surgery on us, to change us from the inside out, something that we can't do in three easy steps or with a self-improvement course or by reading a book, something that only happens as we encounter the living, powerful God who transforms, who redeems, who restores, who reconciles, who longs to do a mighty work in us. His desire is to conform us into the image of his Son, and that only happens as we surrender, as we invite him in. And that's part of what our path, not only through Lent, but through all of our Christian journey is. Knowing him better, seeing his faithfulness more and more, trusting who he is, so that little by little by little by little, we give him more of ourselves. We give him more freedom in our lives. We surrender more places in our hearts so that we can be the people that he's created us to be. So we can be in fellowship with him, so we can stand back and watch the wonderful transforming work that God longs to do in us. What about you? Are there some words that you've heard come out of the depth of your heart that you are so unhappy with? Do you feel any place in your life where your reaction is bitter or angry or intolerant or unforgiving? I'm going to ask you to pray with me tonight, to ask God to show us those places and then to invite him in. Lord, I am so thankful that you love us. I'm so thankful that you see the ugly places in our heart, and it doesn't make you stop loving us. God, I'm so thankful that you love us just as we are, and yet you continually invite us deeper into you so we might become the people that you're longing for us to be. Lord, I don't know how you manage to love us just as we are and have your Spirit prompt us to go and be different, but that's who you are. And so, Lord, secure in your love, secure that there's nothing that we've said or thought or no ugly place in our life that will make you stop loving us. We just want to take a minute and ask you to show us tonight, God, what place in our heart that you're calling to your own heart? God, what place in our heart do you want us to open the door to tonight that your Holy Spirit can come in with power and make it new? God, what part of our heart is stone and hard and cold and you are longing to make it flesh and warm and beating in time with your heart? God, would you take a minute and show that to us tonight? God, show us where we are unforgiving. Show us where we're bitter. Show us where we're angry.
Show us where we're hateful, God. Show us where we're self-consumed. God, show us when where we're uncaring or where we're unloving. God, show us.
God, we long to be made new. And so we lift up to you tonight these places that you've shown us, these places where we're broken, these places that need transformation. We lift them up to you, God. And we just ask that you make them yours. Lord, as we hand you our broken places, you would make us whole. God, as we hand you the places that are ashes, you would give us beauty instead. Lord, heal us. Lord, forgive us. Lord, wash us clean. Lord, make us yours. Lord, fill us with your spirit. Lord, have your way in us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.